Looking for the latest on the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies?
Yeah,
we've got you covered. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the Sports Zone.
Some people call me the space cowboy. Yeah. Some call me the gangster of love. Some people call me Maurice, 'cause I speak of the pompousness of love.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hope you're all having a great Thursday. Tell you what, people here in Salt Lake City fired up. It's not a matter of if, it just feels like it's a matter of when. Could it be next week, couple weeks, whenever the announcement comes down?
Oh.
But the man who's been on top of it, and let's give credit where credit is deserved. This guy has had it broken down earlier and better than anybody else, John Gambandora. Kind enough to join us once again. Arizona Sports down there in Phoenix. He's been hosting sports radio forever. John, I hope I'm not dating you, but you've been a fixture in that market for a long time. You know that scene. How are people down there dealing with that? Are there angry fans, upset, apathetic? What's the feel of the market right now?
Well, Scotty Hans, how are you guys? First of all, credit to the producer. When our producer plays a kick-ass song like that, we have a tip jar. So I suggest on behalf of your producer that every time you hear a rejoin song that you like, there's a tip jar that eventually you guys end up buying like pizza or donuts or something for the producer. So it's a great song to come into. I love it. Just wanted to get that out there.
He doesn't need a bigger head than he already has right now.
He's our producer and our boss too, John, so it's not the best fit.
My producer plays that. We got a tip jaw, my friends. We got a tip jaw for the producer when they play good songs. I said yesterday there's three options. I actually did speak with people inside that organization with the Coyotes yesterday, and they basically said, look, we could sell the team, we could relocate it temporarily, or we can, sell it to Salt Lake City and hope that we get an expansion team down the road, and option three was the most likely. I was also told that, Mullet Arena is just no longer an option for them. It's just not an option as Gary Bettman wants anymore, and I think basically everything I told you guys last week, I'm sticking with. And all the news that's coming out is, that this team is going to eventually relocate to Salt Lake City. Ryan Smith will buy the team. And the Coyotes owner here, Alex Morello, will try to win a bid for this parcel of land that borders Scottsdale and Phoenix. If he's able to get the land and he can build an arena, then Gary Bettman will give him an expansion team down the road. So that's what I've been saying all along, and that's what people inside that organization are telling me is the most likely option.
There was a report that it was starting to leak into the locker room, and I'm a former player, so I understand you're paying attention to where you might be in the future. I get it. But there was some reports that it's leaking in, and maybe the players aren't as excited or happy about coming to Salt Lake City. Can you kind of give us any insight into what you've heard in regards to what they're finding out and their feelings about the news?
Yeah, what I can tell you is that, from the we do a radio show every week with the general manager, Bill Armstrong, and I have a lot of connections to the players over the years. I've been very close with Keith Kachuk and Jeremy Roenick and Dally Drake when they first got here, and they had some success. I think that these guys want certainty from what I've heard. I have not heard anything that they don't want to play in Salt Lake or anything like that. I think that's, this is going to hit them like a ton of bricks. I mean, there's been so much uncertainty with this organization. They were playing in an NHL arena. Now they play in a college arena that seats about 4,000. They don't even sell out some of the games. I mean, I think that more than anything, they want certainty. They want an owner that cares, an owner that's committed to winning, not an owner that's going to be $40 million under the salary cap and signing players that are no longer in the league because that gets them, above the ceiling floor. I think that they'll be very excited to have a commitment to win. I know Ryan Smith will invest in the team if he gets it. Look what he did when he came and took over the Jazz with Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell, and hired a great guy in Danny Ainge to oversee everything. I think it's going to be similar. I think that team will be excited when they get an owner that's committed to winning and committed to spending money to give them a chance to go to the playoffs and have success.
So you mentioned this when we had you on last week, and I want to emphasize this again because I think people all of a sudden were like, okay, let's follow this team on Twitter, let's watch some games, let's start to learn a little bit about this team. But even though win-loss record may not have been great this year, it does feel like Bill Armstrong has built something in terms of assets, in terms of flexibility with the cap, upcoming draft picks, that this team could get good pretty quick if they draft right and manage things the way that it looks like they're on the path towards right now.
You know, because they haven't been able to afford a lot of players, they've actually traded out. They've traded out a lot of players for good. They got Dylan Gunther in a trade with the Vancouver Canucks. Yeah, they gave up a pile of garbage to get a draft pick that ended up being Dylan Gunther at 4 points last night. Terrific young player. Logan Cooley, terrific young player. Clayton Keller. Like, there's pieces in place, guys, to be competitive right away. And I'm telling you, do a little Google search on future assets as far as draft picks are concerned. You know, they're going to own a few drafts over the next few years. They're in a great spot. And I think it's exciting if you get an expansion team. Like, you know, the Arizona Diamondbacks were an expansion team here. That was really exciting to have your own team. The Arizona Cardinals were a team that came from St. Louis. So we've got both here. We've got a team that came from somewhere else, and we've got an expansion team in my time here with the Cardinals and the D-backs. And the fans love them both, okay? I mean, I don't think it's one or the other. I mean, the fans will end up loving this team. If you have an expansion team, they'll love that team. If you get this team, they'll love this team. I don't really see any issues with that. But you do have a little bit of a head start if it is the Coyotes that come there because of the assets that are already in place.
I wanted to get a feel for the community when the mayor released a statement that felt a little bit vitriolic. It felt maybe angry in some of its tone, saying, what are you even talking about, this land and getting this opportunity? What was the response? First of all, why did that feel so heated? And secondly, what was the response the way the mayor handled it?
That was the mayor of Scottsdale. The new building, the arena, is not going to be in that town. But it's going to be very, very close to that town where there's a lot of shops and entertainment districts that would, you know, feel the burden of a competing entertainment district, which would be in Phoenix. The problem is the water, and we live in the desert, so water is a big priority here in the desert, not like where you guys are. Like, we're always paying attention to water here. To pull the water from the city that they're going to be in, they've got to go many miles down the road to this area called Desert Ridge. To pull that water would be an extra $100 to $200 million because this land site, there's no infrastructure, there's nothing. It's just land. There's no roads, there's no plumbing, there's no infrastructure, there's nothing. Scottsdale's basically saying, I know you're very close to where we are. You're not getting all water. So I think that's the whole hang up there. But I don't think that has anything to do with what's happening with the organization. I think Gary Bettman is soured on the owner, Alex Morello. I think he doesn't want to play and have the team play in a college arena for 3, 4, 5, 6 more years with no certainty that this building is going to get built in a proper time frame. I mean, they could say we could be ready for the start of the 27-28 season. There's no certainty to that at all, which is why I do think after they lost the vote in Tempe last year to get a new arena, they lost the vote. It went to a public vote. It failed, and it failed pretty easily, by the way. It wasn't even that close. I think Gary Bettman has put the wheels in motion to see if they could do something with the franchise. I think he gave them until January, February. But I think at some point in the last couple of months, he just said, okay, enough's enough. We can't do this. We just can't do it. And then the talks began with Ryan Smith. I think Ryan Smith was in New York. I think he met with Gary Bettman within the last week or so. And I think the wheels are in motion for this to happen. I mean, everything that I talked about last week, I think it's going to go down that way. I think January 18th, April 18th, after the season ends, there'll be some kind of announcement from Gary Bettman. The team will relocate, and the Coyotes will have every opportunity to build an arena here. And if they do that, they get an expansion team. And if they don't, then they don't.
So, you know, reading up on this land, and it sounds a little bit like Salt Lake City, where land is at a premium, and especially for housing, the bids, I got to imagine, are going to come in fast and furious. And I'm asking you to speculate a little bit, just knowing the landscape and real estate and everything else going on down there. Is it likely that he's able to secure that land? Because it sounds like there's going to be some stiff competition. And I'm not talking about how that impacts, you know, this team coming to Salt Lake City, but just the expansion possibilities down the line. It feels like the odds are against him even getting that land.
I don't know. There's no other known bidders at this time. There's no other known bidders. Now, you don't have to make yourself, you don't have to put yourself out there to be a bidder. I mean, you just should show up and bid that day.
Yeah.
So we have no idea who's going to bid. We know he's got to drop $67 million in money right away to secure, you know, the bid. And if he does win the bid, you know, then you're talking, he's talking about a $3 billion project. Do you have the capital to do it? Interest rates are really high right now. Construction costs are really high right now. You want to build office space? Office space here, I don't know about you guys, office space here is pennies on the dollar. Like, I mean, after the pandemic, I mean, office space went way down. So, you know, I just don't know how much money. I don't know that it's a viable project. I don't know that he's going to be able to build the project. There's a lot of people that have a lot of doubts about that just because of the cost of the project, the interest rates, the construction costs. It's just, and how long would it take? So I don't know. If he sells the team for $1 billion to Ryan Smith, and then he'd have to buy an expansion team back for, let's say, $1 billion, is he better off just taking the billion and going away? I mean, it's possible. I mean, it's possible. There's a lot of doubts as to whether they will actually finish the project if they win the bid or if they'll even win the bid. I don't know. But they seem committed at this point to trying to win that bid to get that parcel of land so they could do something with it.
So, John, speaking of bidding and just the, you know, aggressiveness of business, I've got a source, a friend that I've been talking with in regards to the movement here, and he was telling me that Houston and Atlanta have great interest in possibly getting an NHL team, and that they've got big names and big investors, and that there is a lot of interest. Have you been able to sniff out the interest and maybe the trail that's happening here, and why, with all the interest and the big money that's out there in some of the big markets, why is it almost granted that that Salt Lake City is going to get this thing?
An arena ready to take them right now, 11,000-12,000 seats. You know you're going to get a new arena. You might have the Olympics coming in 10 years. You're going to need a new arena for that, for the Winter Olympics. You've got an owner committed. There's no doubt that you guys are going to have the arena. I think you guys have even – I'm not sure if it's passed legislation. Something's been passed.
Yep.
Some legislation or something. Like, you're going to get an arena. Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. Here we don't know. There's uncertainty here. We have no idea. You guys are getting a brand – the Delta Center is what, 30 years old?
Yep.
Is it 30?
It's almost – I guess it was like 92, 93. So, yeah, right at 30 years. Yep.
There's no question you will have a brand new arena for your basketball team and for the hockey team. Gary Bettman has nothing to worry about giving you a team and having an arena. Now, expansion, they want to go to Atlanta for the third time. I think the TNT headquarters are based out there, and that's where they do all their shows and everything. And then you could, if you're Gary Bettman, okay. If Alex Merlo is able to get the land and build the arena, we'll give you the team. If not, we'll give it to Houston. There'll be one in the East and one in the West. So there'll be two expansion teams when it comes. One will probably be Atlanta. And then the other one will be in the West. If Arizona can secure it. And this is how Bettman gets out of this without any lawsuits or fights with Alex Morello. Look, let's get off of this right now. It's a mess. Somebody in the organization told me yesterday that they've been dealing with the sins of the past. The sins of the past was the word used to me yesterday. Basically, they got dealt a bad hand. Bad ownership all these years. The NHL had to own the team. It was in bankruptcy. No one was committed to winning. No home. Never had a real arena. That seemed like theirs. Even the Glendale Arena was so far away. So with that being said, I think that's how Gary Bettman's able to get Morello to easily give up this team by saying, look, just get off of it. No more. They're losing $60, $70 million a year here. Mm. Okay. They're losing a lot of money. Get off of it now. No more debt for the next few years. If you build the arena, we'll give you a team. If not, then it goes somewhere else. And that way, you don't have to have a lawsuit or a fight or anything like that. You just, you basically are taking the team away from him by bartering a deal. The NHL would be bartering a deal between the Coyotes and Ryan Smith.
Well, John, appreciate it, man. This has been a really fascinating storyline. We obviously heard, and there's been a lot of smoke about this for a while, but it seemed like it moved. It moved very quickly, and I know your loss is our gain, but we're fired up to get hockey here and to break it down, and should be a lot of fun.
What's the name? What's the name? What do people want the name to be?
Oh, man, there's so many weird names out there. I don't know.
Okay, give me one.
There's the Saints and the Pioneers and all this other nonsense. I hope we're a little bit more progressive than that. I don't know. There's a lot of.
I like the Pioneers. The Pioneers is my favorite.
The one thing that we do here in Utah, like we find ways to screw up names. I mean, you know, and then so I don't know. Like I hope we're creative. And one thing I know about Ryan, that dude does. He likes to push the envelope. So I would be shocked if he goes like the traditional Utah name.
Yeah, I like the Pioneers just based off of the history. I mean, I think that there's some great historical stuff that you could go with. But like Scotty said, I think Ryan really does like to. Well, I mean, the guy built a billion-dollar business off polling. Like, that's what Qualtrics was. That's how he made his money. So he likes to hear the voice of people, and he likes to know numbers, and he likes to get a sense of what he can and can't do. And I'm sure he's going to go to great lengths to make sure he gets the right name on this thing.
Well, keep your eye on 1 week from today. Let's see if the day after the season ends. Keep your eye on that date, and let's see if something happens.
Let's do it, man. And, hey, it gives us an excuse to chat with you again. And just know, if you ever need ammunition, we know Ryan Hatch in terms of the loudmouth sports radio guy. Yeah. We don't know executive Ryan Hatch. That dude is foreign to us. Like, I don't – like him wearing a suit and all that stuff, that's not the Ryan Hatch we knew. We knew a very different Ryan Hatch.
Is the best boss that anyone could ever have. And I have a lot of I don't need to say that. I don't have to say that. I'm pretty locked in with what I've done, but he has been absolutely tremendous. I don't think that I would have had the success I've had if it wasn't for his leadership. He has been a tremendous leader, and we're lucky to have him. We're really lucky to have him.
Yeah, that is a very different Ryan Hatch than what we remember.
Well, we're lucky he's there.
No.
No, just kidding.
Oh, man.
No, we love him.
You guys are rough.
All right. Hey, you're the best, man. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, boys. Take care. Bye.
All right. There he is. Good conversation, man, as we continue to get you ready for the NHL here in Salt Lake City. John Gambandora just did a tremendous job, man, breaking it all down.
Well, he didn't feel like there's as much murmuring, for lack of a better word, from teammates and staff and the organization of the potential move to Salt Lake City than maybe we've heard from others.
Yeah.
At least that's the way he made it feel. When I asked him, are you hearing some rumblings of complaints that – this team might be coming to Salt Lake City, because there was a report yesterday or 2 days ago on the team getting word and not exactly being happy about coming to Salt Lake City. I'm glad to hear that all they're worried about is certainty. At least that's coming from John.
Yeah.
He said they just want certainty. It's not about, well, we don't want to go to Salt Lake City, at least from his point of view. And that means a lot to me, because I want a team and an organization that wants to be here. And if they have these preconceived ideas of what Utah is, that bums me out, because this is an amazing place.
Yeah.
And we need to continue to let people know that this is a great place to live and to grow and raise families and to be young.
Yeah. Well, that's the last part, to be young. Like, you know, anybody who comes in here, like Mike Conley comes in with his wife and his three kids and immediately falls in love with the place. Darren Williams didn't really enjoy the place until he ended up having older kids. And now we can't kick Darren Williams out of the state. Like, the dude loves Utah. And that happens to a lot of guys. And whether it's real or not, I can't empathize with a young athlete, because obviously I don't have their means. I don't have the nightlife acumen that a lot of these guys have. Like, I can't relate to that lifestyle. I'm just too old and too boring. So I can't say with any certainty, like, oh, you should like it here. This is fun here, because I don't relate. I don't live that lifestyle. And so when there's a perception out there of Utah's not a fun place, and the whole nightlife thing with the Golden State Warriors a few years ago, whether that stereotype is real or not, it exists. And so how do you combat that? Well, you build and you continue to develop a thriving, exciting downtown opportunity.
Yes. Yeah.
And I think that's what Ryan's trying to build. And that vision,
that's the vision.
If that one single rendering showed a really exciting opportunity.
Yeah. With outdoor opportunity, like all kinds. And I know that we deal with a different climate. I know we can't be Clearwater in Florida. We can't be...
You're not Vegas.
Yeah, we're not Las Vegas. We're not Phoenix. But there are some unique things that we can do. And we are a winter sport community. And that's ice hockey.
Yeah.
And when we're bringing Vancouver fans and we're bringing Boston fans and we're bringing Toronto fans and we're bringing all of these people that love hockey, they're coming into one of the greatest winter sport towns in the world. So we need to be able to create and surround that and make it a destination where people show up and have a blast. You were talking about your time in Indy. I got to live that life as a player in Indy. I was talking about being able to sit down with Ron Artest and sing some karaoke at Champs Bar, because that's what we did. We go down to Champs Bar, we'd sing a little bit of karaoke, we'd have some good food, we'd chat with the fans, the fans that come out, and it was awesome. You felt like you were king of the world in Indianapolis, and it's Indianapolis, Indiana.
Yeah, exactly.
There's nothing that we can't do here that can't match that.
Now, look, there's some really cool places. You got Toronto, awesome place. Hans tried to break into Toronto once.
Wouldn't let me.
Wouldn't let him. You got Florida. You got Boston. You got New York. All right, so those are great markets. But look, I don't want anybody from Winnipeg thumbing their nose down at Salt Lake City. I don't want anybody from Edmonton thumbing their nose down at Salt Lake City. Like, look, we can hang. We can hang with those. We can hang with Ottawa.
Eh?
So let's... You know, if there's a player out there like, I don't want to go to Salt Lake City, I'm cool here in Edmonton. All right, buddy. All right. Calm it down.
Sure.
Yeah. All right. Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Coming up next, we'll spin the wheel. Sports Roulette, straight ahead right here on The Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
Welcome, Kevin Graham, back to the airwaves.
In most major markets, unless the hockey team is winning, it's definitely third or fourth on the list for popularity. What I think is intriguing about Utah is that you have this long-term one franchise with the Jazz, and now you're bringing a new NHL team in. That's the dynamic I don't know. And Brian Smith, when you become a multi-billionaire, you got to be a pretty smart guy. So I have to think he's done the research.
PK's going through deja vu. He moved to Phoenix, and the Suns were the only pro team. Look what happened in Phoenix, and now look what's happening in Utah.
It's like so wise, and he's going to be able to offer insight that you'll be able to get nowhere else.
Oh, thank you, man.
there's
our tease, our promo.
There's a promo.
I'm actually really excited for Utah to see how this breaks down. This could be the mecca of all sports of all time in the state of Utah.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 to 10. Presented by Murdoch Hyundai, Utah's number one Hyundai dealer for 16 years in a row. On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Is your Jazz at 30 update on your exclusive home of Utah Jazz basketball. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Well, it all comes to an end tonight. Well, at least the home season for the Utah Jazz. As the Jazz losing streak continues on, Jazz will try to snap that tonight. They'll take on the Houston Rockets. You'll hear all the action right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone, your exclusive home of Utah Jazz basketball, as the Jazz will wrap up their final game here in Delta Center for the season, and they will do so without a lot of players. Jordan Clarkson out, John Collins out, Chris Dunn out, Walker Kessler out, Laurie Markkanen out, Colin Sexton out. So Hans and I in, Lloyd Cole running point guard for the Jazz coming up tonight. You'll hear all the pregame action and all the play-by-play action right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. That's your Jazz at 30 update, brought to you by Spherion Staffing. You have better things to do than to scramble to find your next great hire, so Spherion Staffing's here to help. Contact them online at Spherion, Spherion, Spherion.com/Utah.
The wheel is loaded, and it's time to talk some sports. This is Sports Roulette with Hans and Scotty on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
We'll be right back. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, Sports Roulette. We take the big storylines we've not had a chance to get to or just have not spent enough time on. We put on a roulette wheel that Lloyd conveniently borrowed from the Montego Bay a few years ago. Wherever that little ball lands is what we end up talking about. It's really simple. We've got about 42 stories on the board for today.
It's packed.
So let's do it. Fire up that wheel.
OJ is dead.
76 years old, passed from cancer, and probably the most controversial sports figure in the history of sports figures.
Yep.
For all the things that he did, he was just all over the board. And you know what's crazy? I was talking to my dad about O.J. Simpson. Obviously, my dad is the brother of Merlin Olsen, Phil Olsen, and watched a lot of football.
Yeah.
Watched a lot of football through the 60s and 70s and 80s. And he said O.J. was as sweet a running back as he'd ever watched in his life. He said when it just came down to pure running, he said O.J. Simpson is one of the most amazing runners that's ever played the game.
Hard to argue with that. Was the first one to run for 2,000 yards in a season, correct?
That is correct.
And then
2002, I think.
And then Eric Dickerson did it, and then Terrell Davis, and then there's been a few since then. But
yeah, he was the first.
But he was the first to do it.
O.J. Simpson went on and became somewhat of a crossover star, much like my Uncle Merlin did.
Hey, I know O.J., look, I get it. But those Naked Gun movies were
awesome. Really good, man.
They were really funny.
Norberg!
He was great as Norberg, and really, really funny stuff. And then comes the murders and the bizarre following and the innocent verdict and the kidnappings and the jail sentence and the civil suit that went against him in the deaths of Nicole Simpson.
I mean, they put me in the Palace Station this Mountain West tournament. All I knew the Palace, I've never been there before. I had a preconceived notion because all I know is that's where OJ got pinched.
That's it.
Was the Palace Station.
That was the place.
And actually, when I walked in there, I'm like, oh, this isn't that bad of a place. I thought I was going to go to like a dive hotel, but
it's not that bad. I told you.
No, I was pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, I don't mind that place, but it was in one of those big conference rooms that they've got just right there where all he went in to go get his memorabilia and ended up taking people hostage, holding them against their will. It was a horrible deal and served time, but just a controversial life. And I think if somebody were to ask, well, what's he going to be best known for? It's going to be the deaths of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman.
Hey,
That will be his legacy.
Hey, what's Cato Kaelin up these days? I'm surprised we haven't got a comment from him.
What was he, the pool boy or something?
Yeah, he was like the
living in the guest house.
The freeloader. Like
he was just a freeloader.
He was just around.
Yeah. What a trial, what a crazy life. O.J. Simpson dying today.
I know you don't
76.
You were you were knee deep in football and everything. Lloyd, do you remember where you were at when the verdict came down?
I was faking sick and I was home, and because there's nothing on TV, I was like watching General Hospital, and all of a sudden it came on. The news came on.
You swear?
I swear. That's where I was at. Yes.
So I was. It was my, I was right out of high school. It was my first year at Utah State, and I was paying attention to it, but I wasn't like glued into it like everything else. And one of the rare occasions, I show up, and it was one of those freshman classes where you're in a huge auditorium, and it's usually packed to the gills with people. So I walk into class. And a class that probably had 150 people in it, there were like maybe 20 of us, because the verdict was coming down in the middle of class and everybody was skipping to go either home or go to the student center and watching the verdict. So I'm like, where the hell is everybody? Hmm. What is going on? So I'm sitting there and doing my thing, taking notes. And then I walk on home and my roommate is like, hey, OJ's innocent. I'm like, no way. He's like, oh, yeah. So I did not watch the verdict live. Because I was actually, for once, doing the right thing and going to class.
But you remember being gone.
And then obviously all hell broke loose.
Sitting there watching General Hospital, all of a sudden it breaks in, and you're seeing the white Bronco, and you're like, what is going on?
Well, no, that was, I'm talking about the verdict, not the...
No, I know.
Yeah.
It's weird because I could tell you where I was when baby Jessica fell down the well.
See, man, you are enamored with the baby
you
Jessica.
Are.
I know, because it
always
it,
has
it,
been.
It really had that type of effect on me.
You read the follow-up story, like how that just wrecked the community years later.
Yeah,
I mean,
it tore them at the seams.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was just the fame and the notoriety of
what
it all.
What was that other kid you're fascinated one? Emilio? Or what was it? The little
kid?
Oh,
the Cuban kid?
The Cuban kid. The one you are.
Where the SWAT team broke in to tear him away from the family and send him back to Cuba?
It's either baby Jessica
Elian
or
Gonzalez.
Alien.
They faked his age.
No, that's,
he was able to play baseball.
No, that's the kid from the Bronx.
Yeah, that's different. Yeah.
No.
So OJ, again, a lot of times when people do some pretty nasty things and they pass away, you're like, okay, you know, let's give it a few days.
Yeah.
Honor the memory, honor the good stuff, and then we'll pile on. Nope, everybody's piling on right now. And, you know, look, you murder two people and you essentially, outside of financially, get away with it.
By everything
people
he
be
did
upset.
After the fact, you know, everything he did, like stuff that he comments that he would make, like he was a bad person.
Well,
really bad.
You know, the one of the things I do remember is Ron Goldman's father and how heartbroken he was and has been. I mean, he was outspoken. I did watch The People versus O.J. Simpson. That was an amazing series. Amazing series. And I always felt like the Ron Goldman death was kind of the backstory of the whole thing and probably should have been a little bit more front and center. But that's what happens, you know, when Nicole Brown Simpson is murdered. I guess not everything is going to be up front. It's like Kobe Bryant. When Kobe Bryant was gone, we didn't talk about a lot about everybody else that was in the helicopter, but there were a lot of people affected. And what O.J. Simpson did, the lives that he took, and how devastating that was to his family. I don't have a lot of remorse, I don't have a lot of empathy for him at all.
Hey, a little late to get this on the roulette wheel, but John Rothstein, really good college basketball writer for CBS Sports, has been as dialed in as anybody in the world of college basketball, just tweeted out. Now, this is a little cryptic. It doesn't say leading candidate. It doesn't say highly sought after candidate, but he just tweeted out, sources, BYU's Mark Pope is a candidate for the head coaching vacancy at Kentucky.
Well, Pope, everybody keeps turning it down.
Pope was a member of the 1996 national title team in Lexington. So, again, Scott Drew pulls his name out of the hat. He stays at Baylor. I think it's a pressure cooker that
there were two others before that.
Yeah, there's people realize that there's high level expectations. John Calipari won national championships and been to Final Fours and essentially was ran out of town. And so if you've got a good job, if you're a Baylor and you're making a ton of money and you're winning a ton of games and you could have a statue and a court named after you when it's all said and done, do you really want to give that up to go chase Kentucky where either you win a national championship or we're going to boot your butt out of town? And regardless of what you've done in the past, like, I think people are like, yeah, I'm pretty good where I'm at right now. I got good NIL money. I don't need to go chase that job. I'm getting paid really well.
Leave Mark Pope alone.
So,
okay, you can get Mark Pope paid just like you've gotten everybody else paid, Kentucky. Because I think they came after UConn's coach. I think they've come after a few coaches, and they probably got them nice little boosts and interests. Just stay away from Mark Pope. Hey, here's one. Think outside the box. Go get Don Staley.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Go get South Carolina's head coach that's taken the women's team to three championships over the last, whatever it is, 5 years or something.
Yeah.
Go think outside the box. Leave Mark Pope alone.
Well, we'll see. And, you know, that's the thing. Mark Pope didn't have BYU ties before, but he's won a national championship as a player. That Kentucky blue runs through his blood.
But I've said this about BYU in being in the Big 12 playing basketball. If you feel like Mark Pope's the guy and Kentucky comes after him, because Calipari was making about $7 million a year.
Yeah,
at Kentucky.
Close to eight.
Let's say that Kentucky comes at Mark Pope with a 5-year deal worth $4.5 million a year. BYU can't get there, bro. That's Mark's leaving.
Yeah, yeah.
If they came with that type of money.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you're in the big leagues now. Find a way to keep Mark Pope. Just like Baylor's found a way. Just like every team is finding a way. Like, oh, no, we're going to keep you. You're staying where you are. It would be really nice to hear Kentucky offered Mark Pope, and Mark is remaining at BYU. That'd be such a great win
for BYU.
It would
be. But here's the thing. Does Mark Pope want to be at BYU long term? Now, there's some guys that look at BYU and say, okay, this is where I want to be. You feel like, and again, maybe the wording isn't the best on this, but it feels like a calling, you know? You don't turn it down, and you're honored to be at BYU. I don't think Mark Pope's ever looked at BYU like that. Some coaches do. I don't think Mark Pope does. Mark Pope is very aggressive, ambitious, and what he did at BYU this year was nothing short of remarkable, considering the league that he was in, the first year that he was in that league. And he may look at that and say, like, I don't know if I can do that in this conference at BYU year in and year out. Like, I don't know if I can do that with my honor code issues I'm going to deal with. I can't compete with an NIL the way other schools can compete at a high level with the NIL inside that conference. It's the best conference in all of college basketball. Now, I can go to Kentucky and have every single resource available to me. Every NIL dollar I'll ever need to spend, I can have at Kentucky. And it's the school that I graduated from and the school that I played for and won a national championship for. That's a really hard thing to turn down.
Well, John Rothstein is no fly-by-night X account.
Yeah, and I might add,
he's a big one.
This might be, and frankly, this might be Mark Pope and his agent and his PR people throwing that out
there.
Putting
it out there. John Rothstein saying BYU's Mark Pope is candidate for the head coaching vacancy at Kentucky. Well, okay.
And again, that, the way candidate, that's worded is kind of funky.
Of course, he's a candidate. Of course.
Yeah.
But why now? Why are you releasing that a few minutes after it was announced that Baylor's head coach is staying?
Yeah.
And I always did feel like Mark Pope would be in the top five of conversation, and they've gone through three or four, so maybe it is getting to Mark Pope at this point, just by the process of elimination.
Yeah.
It feels like it might be. And Mark Pope worked miracles. He took a team that was projected, whatever it was, 13th in the Big 12, and he made them an NCAA tournament team. And he's brought in the talent, organized the talent. But, yeah, and look, BYU doesn't have Kentucky-level expectations. But he's dealing with high-level expectations at BYU.
That is true, especially what you did this year, too.
But he does get his team back next year. I mean, he's got a team that he probably feels pretty comfortable with that he could win. My guess is they'll be picked in the top four
of the
Big 12.
You got Chandler coming in. I mean, you got some talent coming back.
So stay and win, make money, go to the school you played for, make a lot more money. Look, either way, it's a great position for Mark Pope to be in.
Yeah, it's good to be Mark. Let's say that.
And he put himself in this position.
Yeah.
He did this.
Yep. All right, 249, Hans and Scotty. We'll wrap up this bad boy next right here on The Zone.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
He is a columnist for ArizonaSports.com. He's also the co-host of a midday show on 98.7 FM in Phoenix. Dan Bickley, where's the community at on this? I mean, are they fighting to keep the Coyotes?
There's a small group of very, very loyal hockey fans who have stuck with this hockey franchise throughout a couple of decades of this. But you have to understand, this relocation game has been a part of this hockey team for almost two decades now, and people are tired of it. I think most casual sports fans in Arizona just want resolution. You would have to have lived this on a year-to-year basis to understand how exhausting all of this has been to the common fan. And while I think there was a point in time in our history as a sports market that being a big league sports town, having all four major professional sports was something of value, I don't know if that's any longer the case.
Hear Jake Scott and Ben Anderson every day from 10 to noon on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Standing here beside you, want so much to give you this love in my heart that I'm feeling for you.
Let them see we're crazy. I don't care about that. Put your hand in my hand, baby. Don't ever look back. Got the world around us just fall apart.
did, Lloyd, and I respect the hell out of you for it. Lloyd had a great show. Me and Hans, we've had better.
Yeah, so-so.
No. But Lloyd was dialed in. No opening music bed at the end of the show.
That's a first.
No wrong
that's
rejoiner.
A, first a little bit.
That's a first.
No, it was a fun show today. And big thanks to Beth in HR for listening to the show. Shout out to her. Great presentation earlier
listening.
Today.
Yes. First time caller.
It always gets you a little on edge when you get emails in the middle of the show from the head of HR that's like, hey, listening. And that was a, you know, you guys are dialed in
that's
today.
Interesting, like, what you said.
Ooh. There is one predominant religious figure who listens to the show who told me that they listen, and that got us a little on edge once.
One of the big ones.
Yeah.
I'm just watching Masters play out right now, and Bryson DeChambeau leads at 7-under. Does Danny Willett have naked pictures of Augusta or something? Because that guy, how does – like Danny Willett, outside of Augusta, is he that competitive?
You're talking to the wrong dude, man.
I feel like he's got naked pictures of the course and holds it against it.
That's one way to put it.
Danny, yeah, like that's what it
Danny,
feels like.
What are you doing here? Well, you got this pole right here. All right, fine. You're teeing off a Tiger at 7:05. Get out there.
A lot of people might not have seen what happened on the 8th, but I did.
I did. All right, we'll be back with you tomorrow, Friday edition of the show. JJ and Alex next. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.